time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. This is Todd Griffin in the WPKY studios. Starting the show this morning with Caldwell County baseball head coach Josh Young in the studio with us. And Josh, right now we're just waiting on the region draw a little bit later this morning.
Yeah, we are. I think the draw is going down around 9 a.m. So hopefully we should know who we're going to play on Saturday afternoon, and we can get rolling with the regional tournament.
Yeah, we know it's going to be one of three teams. It's going to be Lyon County, Christian County, or Henderson County. So you guys are going to have to be ready to go right out of the gate.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this time of the year, I don't think you're going to play anybody that's not very good. We kind of told our guys, when we're done playing teams that are just average to mediocre teams. I mean, everybody we're going to play is going to be well coached, have good pitching. They can hit the ball and put it in play, and they're going to be solid defensively. So it really doesn't matter who we're going to draw. They're going to be a pretty solid baseball team.
Now, a tough loss for you guys in the district championship game the other night, 1-0 to Madisonville. Mm-hmm. Just a night where neither side could get many hits. The pitchers were really good, and sometimes it's just, you know, that's baseball.
Yeah, baseball is a funny game. I think we've put up quite a few runs this year and had some success at the plate throughout the year, but I think just the chips didn't fall our way, and we just couldn't make adjustments at the plate. And kudos to their pitcher, Eric Farmer. He did a great job on the mound and spotting his fastball and mixing his pitches up and putting it in a place, putting himself in a position where to put them in to win a game. And so, kudos to him. But also a great job by Ben Goodacre. I mean, I can't go any farther without congratulating him and just the game that he played. I told him after the game, I said, Ben, this may be the best game that you played in your entire career. I mean, if you look at the stats, obviously he took a loss on the mound, but. I think he threw a complete game, gave up one earned run in seven innings. I think he threw 86, 87 pitches, which is pretty phenomenal outing. And even at the plate, I think he had two of our three or four hits, if I'm not mistaken. And so a really, really outstanding game by Ben.
Yeah, if someone would have told you that Goodacre is going to go the complete game, give up one run, four hits, strike out eight, but you're putting that down as a win.
You're exactly right. If you'd have told me that before the game, I said, well, we're in great shape and we can walk away a district championship. But obviously we didn't get the job done, and hopefully we can make some adjustments going into Saturday.
I know the team takes pride in that district championship. And, you know, we'd won 9 out of 10 before, you know, dropping this one this week. But you guys have still had a great season and still time to make it even better.
Yeah, we have. I mean, this one thing we kind of preach to our guys, Coach Towns and I, is yes, I mean, this is the best part of the season. Postseason baseball is just a blast. Just because of what we mentioned earlier, you're playing good baseball teams. You're playing teams that are well coached, that know the game, and that play the game the right way. And so it just makes the competition fun. And so I think we've got a group of guys that love to compete and love to just step on the field and play with each other. But like I said, we're not going to play anybody that's bad at baseball. We're going to play good teams. And so another thing we kind of preach to our guys is, man, we've had a successful season. I mean, losing a district championship is not going to be what defines our year as a whole. We've won some big games. Yeah, we've lost some games that we shouldn't have, but overall we've had a successful season. I think we won 19 games or so.
19-11, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, absolutely. Close to a 20-win season, and so really proud of our guys. Obviously, like I said, didn't fall our way on Tuesday night, but, I mean, it doesn't define our season, so we can kind of control our own destiny moving forward.
And the team always has that second region All-A Classic that it can claim. And, of course, the big comeback win over Crittenden County that I think when this group gets together in 20 or 30 years, nobody's going to remember how many games they won, but everybody's going to remember that Crittenden County game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are going to be talking about that for years. Just the magnitude of the game and All-A Regional Championship, and but also just the atmosphere that game was. I mean, you look at just how that game unfolded. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, we were 90 feet from Crittenden County hitting the mercy rule against us.
Yeah, for running my 10 runs.
Yeah, and so, I mean, just a great sports story if you think about it. Just go back to all the sports stories in history. I think you can throw that one in there, man. We put up, I think, what was it, 13 runs in an inning?
14. 14. Yeah.
And so, and two home runs in the top of the seventh. And so, a really, really great story and successful guys.
Well, you talked about Ben Goodacre and the season he's had for you guys. I think when the second region accolades start rolling around, I think Ben's got to be on any all-region teams there are. And, you know, you can make a good case for Ari Wells, your eighth grader.
Yeah, those two guys have been outstanding this year for us. Ben is almost irreplaceable. Just what he brings to the mound, just his competitive nature, just the way that he approaches the game and has his mindset ready to go anytime he steps on the mound is just really, I would say, probably the best in the region. I mean, if it was up to me, obviously I may be a little biased, but I think Ben would probably be the player of the year in the region. And so really, really proud of Ben, and Ben deserves any accolade that comes his way in the postseason. So, and Ari as well. I mean, an eighth grader coming in, and he was just super talented. His future is bright. I don't think he realizes how good he can be one day, but I do think he understands just the game and how to play the game the right way and to go compete and just thinking on a higher level. I think once he gets to that point where he can understand all those things at one time, I mean, he's going to be dangerous. And so really, really excited for his future.
Yeah, Ari, I think, leads the team in batting average and has, what, four home runs this season now. So he's had a really good year. But when you look at your team, you guys are not overly deep by any means, but you've got 10 to 12 kids that can go out there and do their job.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, we're not extremely deep this year. But, yeah, we do have – I think we can put 9, 10, 11 guys on the field and be just fine. And that's just a credit to our guys of taking the field. They come ready to play and just to go compete. And I think they're playing well together. I think once we really start to identify, okay, it's not about the physical attributes of playing baseball. It's all about – man, am I mentally ready to go? Am I knowing what to do with the baseball if it's hit to me? Am I have an approach at the plate? Those things. Just the mental aspect or the mental side of the game, I think we're starting to figure out. We're still struggling a little bit with it here in the postseason, but I think we're figuring it out. And I think if we can get there by Saturday, I mean, I'm telling you, watch out. I think we're going to be a dangerous team to play.
Well, one thing that you guys have done really well this year, and you mentioned you've had some days where you didn't play great, but it seems like you've always bounced back from that. If you've had a down game and maybe a loss someplace that you didn't like, the team always comes back with a strong performance the next game.
Yeah. I mean, you look back to if you look back just the last week of the season, we took a loss to UHA. I mean, a good UHA team. But I think our guys kind of thought we should have won that game, and I think we were right. We probably should have won that game. But then you bounce back against the Livingston Central team and hit the mercy rule, and so and that's just kind of sprinkled throughout the year. I mean, yeah, we've taken some losses that we shouldn't have, but we've also, I think, maybe won a couple games that people thought we shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And that All-A game being one of them, especially. But I think it's just a credit and congratulations to our guys of just expecting to win and expecting to go compete and put themselves in a position to win.
Well, and the first All-A Classic game down at Lyon County, you guys won that one 3-1, and you beat Eli Baker that day, and that's a kid that beat Louisville Trinity just a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely. I mean, Lyon County, I mean, they're a very good baseball team, but it's hard for me to just remember. I mean, a lot of those guys are still sophomores.
Yeah.
They're still a very young team, and I mean, they're going to be dangerous as well in the postseason and especially in years to come.
Yeah, I have to give Lyon a lot of credit because after that game, you know, weren't any excuses made. They just came over and told Ben, good game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's another pretty good old-fashioned pitcher's duel as that game was with Eli Baker and Ben on the mound. And, man, those two guys, it was fun to watch. Yeah. It was fun to be a part of, and fortunately we just came out on the right side.
One thing you guys did last week, and it was kind of impressive, was just getting the field ready for the district tournament.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going to ask you how many hours you guys spent out there because we had a ton of rain right before the district tournament was supposed to start Monday. So, you know, what kind of work went into it and how close were we to not being able to play?
You know, when I drove by the baseball field early Monday morning before school, and when I walked out on the field, my first initial thought was, man, there is no way we're getting these games in. And just water all over the dirt. The outfield was soaked. And so we went to school, kind of talked with Coach Downs and Coach Riley about what maybe some of the other districts were doing. And once we found out that all the other districts were playing, just with the regional tournament starting on Saturday, we kind of came to the decision, like, man, we can't push this back any further, so we got to go get this thing ready. So I think we were out there from about 10:30 a.m., and I think I left the park around 10:30 p.m. Yeah. So a lot of hours, a lot of work, and so it was a pretty exhausting day, but fortunately we got that field ready and got those games in.
We talked earlier about the region draw coming up this morning, and what do you know about the region draw as far as when games are going to be played and where they're going to be played and all of those kind of things?
So the first round is on Saturday. I think both there's a 5:30 time slot and a 7:30 time slot, but I think we're going to split the first round games between Henderson County and Hopkinsville High School, and so not sure how they're going to determine who plays where, but I would assume it will probably be geographical. So obviously Henderson being the host site would probably play at their home part, and Christian County, whoever they draw, would probably be at Hopkinsville and vice versa. And kind of you can kind of play around with that. So I believe the first round is on Saturday. The second round, I believe, is on Monday, but I could be mistaken. It could be a Sunday afternoon game as well. And so I'm not sure how that's going to play out yet.
Might depend on who advances and what they have going on. And I know some schools don't want to play on a Sunday. So at one point we were hearing that maybe they would start the regional tournament on Sunday, but that didn't work out either. So it's kind of been a little disjointed, and I kind of miss the days where we just played the whole first round on Memorial Day, but I know that's kind of out because of the way the state tournament's lined up now.
Yeah, thinking back to my playing days, I think we started on the Memorial Day. It was the first round of the region, and I mean, everybody played. You had games at 9 a.m., and then you played all the way until 7:30 or was the last game. And so it was just fun. It was just more fun that way. And so everybody, it's a lot of baseball going on, just a lot of entertainment. You can stick around and watch. You can kind of scout some guys out. And so but it is what it is. And so with this year, it's just kind of split. So, but I think the positive is hopefully – they'll play the same side of the bracket. So the top side of the bracket hopefully will be at the same location.
Okay.
So you can but I could be wrong, but so
we're talking this morning with Caldwell County Tiger baseball head coach Josh Young. Again, we're waiting for the regional draw. It's about 9 o'clock this morning, so we should know shortly after we get off the air here today, and we'll pass that along on social media exactly who the Tigers will be facing in the first round. Again, it's going to be Lyon County, Christian County, or Henderson County. And, Josh, one of the key things when you get to regional tournament time is how everybody wants to set their pitching up.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, we've kind of said it for years, how you can make a run in the postseason is based on your pitching. Just kind of we were talking a little bit earlier, softball, as long as you got one, maybe two girls that can pitch, I mean, you're pretty good to go. But baseball, you got to have, and to win it, you need three or four or five solid pitchers. And so, setting up your pitching is going to be a big time thing based on who you draw. And so just kind of really eager to see how that plays out.
Well, you guys have had really good starting pitching, not just Ben, but Cole Sloan has had a good year on the mound. Ari Wells has pitched well. As a team, your ERA is like 3.2-something, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Those three guys have done a really good job for us coming out and starting games. And, a guy you can't really forget is Scott Courtney.
Yeah.
poor Scott, we've kind of thrown him into some pretty bad circumstances. He's inherited a couple runners on base. I think we kind of joke with him all the time. I think we put him in the other day and there was nobody on base, and we asked him, is that going to be all right with him? Because he's used to inheriting bases loaded with two outs in a pretty tough situation. But, man, he's done a great job of coming in, especially as a freshman, and just being cool, calm, and collected, throwing strikes, and just working his way out of an inning.
But as you look at the regional tournament field, seems like everybody's got one guy they can go out there and feel like they can win with, but one guy's not going to win the regional tournament. So it's interesting to see exactly when everybody deploys that one guy.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, I think it's going to be tough for some teams to throw off just based on the draw. And so I think, from what I've learned in the past, if you throw off, there's a pretty good chance of you playing in a tight game and maybe having to bring in that your ace and possibly burning two pitchers in one game, which is not ideally what you want to do, but at the same time, it's just kind of the decision that you've got to go with. And so really kind of interested to see how teams play that out. Interested to see how that works for some teams.
Does it matter if other teams have seen your ace? Because, you know, Ben's pitched against Lyon County. He's pitched against Henderson County. But I don't believe he pitched against Christian County this year. So they haven't seen him. So does that play into the hopes of maybe wanting to draw Christian, or does it even matter?
I mean, maybe a little. At this point, I don't think it really matters. We've got a lot. We got all the confidence in the world in Ben. Again, in my opinion, Ben's probably the player of the year. Just from my biased opinion, Ben is so efficient on the mound. He hides the ball extremely well upon delivery. He's hard for hitters to pick up. His the stuff that he has, his 2 or 3, 4 pitch mix, is I think next to none. And so, obviously, Lyon and Henderson have seen him. Both of those teams being relatively earlier in the year, especially Henderson, I think was second or third week of the year right before spring break. And so, there's been a lot of baseball played since then. But obviously, they've got charts and they've got things on Ben. And so, but we've also got Cole Sloan who can go in and take the mound, and Ari can go out and take the mound. And so, we'll kind of play around with what we're going to do on Saturday. We'll go from there once we get the draw.
Yeah. It's been a good season for you guys. Your first year as head coach, what have you kind of learned along the way?
Man, it's been a busy season. It's been a long season, but it's also flown by. And so I think one of the things that I learned, especially for this year, it's easy to get caught up in the X's and O's of baseball, when do I want to pinch hit, or when do I want to bunt, or when do I want to steal this guy, or things like that. And just in the schematics of baseball is a big part of coaching, but I think what may be even more important in that is developing young baseball players who can go take the field and play the game the right way, their attitude, their character, just the off the field things of baseball. And so is of more importance than the on-field stuff. And so I think going into next year, we've got talent. I know we've got talent returning. And we've got guys that can go compete. But just that aspect of, let's focus more on having high-character guys, high baseball IQ guys, playing the game the right way. And so I think really excited just for the postseason, but also going into next year, we get a good young group back that can, I think, make some noise as well.
Well, good luck to you guys the rest of the way. Hopefully there's several more games to go, and I appreciate you coming in and being with us this morning.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Todd.
That's Tiger baseball head coach Josh Young. Again, the Tigers waiting just a little bit later this morning to find out who they'll be playing in the first round of the second region baseball tournament later this week. We need to get to a timeout on the show. Jay Davis will join us in the studio when we come back. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Life is busy. We get it. That's why at First Southern National Bank, we are launching a new experience for customers. Our drive-thrus are being replaced with full-access banking lanes that utilize new technology to give you greater convenience. You can now do almost everything you could do inside the bank or at the ATM, all from your car. Tellers are available via video to assist you if needed, and bank services now have extended hours. Learn more at fsnb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky, you're treated like family. Because to them, family is everything. Johnson's has the reputation of helping customers with brands you can count on, like GE Appliances. Shop their selection of GE Appliances with premium finishes and features that make household chores easier, giving you time to do what matters. Bring home the long-lasting quality of GE Appliances today. Trust Johnson's for furniture, bedding, and appliances. Because you're like family, and family is everything.
At Tricews, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricews in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit tricews.com. That's tricews.com.
This is Kevin Meacham from H&R Agrify. When it's more than just your lawn, it deserves a Kubota Z400. Get a head-turning offer on class-leading speed, agility, simple deck height adjustment, and quality cut. When you need comfort and performance, then you need the professional-grade Kubota Z400. Right now, get the Kubota Z400 mower for zero down, 0% APR for 48 months or save $300.
Now through June 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer. Test drive one today at H&R AgriPower, 4900 Eagle Way, Hopkinsville.
At Trilogy Performance Sports, they believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training. Their staff members are actively enriching the lives of their members and creating a community of like-minded people. And getting you in shape is their number one goal. They have everything you need: knowledge, experience, and equipment. They find out what's important to you and design a customized plan that fits your needs. Learn more at TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Kentucky needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. We appreciate Caldwell County Baseball Head Coach Josh Young for stopping by. A little bit later on this morning, we're going to talk with Lady Tiger Softball Head Coach Seth Butts. But joining us in the studio right now, the Assigning Secretary for Football Officials in the 2nd Region, Jay Davis. Jay, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Todd.
Did I get that title right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that'll work. Yes, sir.
And I like your shirt this morning.
Cardinal fans got to stick together, even with the way the season started.
Well, starting to get on a bit of a roll, though. It's turning around. Not that far behind. It's, 115-20 games to go? Still, so there's always a chance.
Yeah. Instead of one out of three, maybe we need to win two out of three like we've done these last two.
But the Central's down a little bit, so it could be done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you guys are looking for football officials for this fall.
Todd, I'm excuse me, yes, sir, and I've talked to a couple of the other assigners, and we're all in the same boat, and just as I shared with you and Josh, numbers are down in officials, not just in our area, but across the state of Kentucky and across the country. The National Federation of High School Athletics, which is the extreme rule maker for all high school sports in our country, is trying to do some advertising across the country to help us. But the average age of my entire football staff is probably in the mid to high 50s. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a couple people that are close to my age are on that number, so that pulls it. Pulled it up there, but we're having trouble not only attracting, getting new people into officiating, but they don't want to stay very long. Sportsmanship has been an issue for several years, and it's for what a high school official gets paid, especially starting out, doing middle school, freshman JV games. It doesn't. There's a few things you could do and stay home or a little closer to home that would generate just as much revenue as you get from sports. But it, yes, sir. It's, we need football officials, and in the fall in Kentucky, there's girls and boys soccer, mm-hmm. and volleyball, and cross country, which doesn't require an official. But then also in the last 3 or 4 years, middle school softball and middle school baseball have started playing in a fall season. They're not under the Kentucky High School Athletic Association, but most of those schools are requiring that the officials that do their games are registered through the Kentucky High School Athletic Association.
Now, if someone wants to officiate, what do they need to do?
The process is not difficult, as some fans remind us from time to time. There's no Sears Roebuck license anymore. That used to be a scream from the sidelines or a bleacher sometimes. Did you get your license at Sears Roebuck? But the Kentucky High School Athletic Association is the licensing agent, but the assigners are the first line of contact. If somebody's interested in talking about officiating high school football or middle school football, what is it I have to do, then for this area, I'm the contact person, and people could contact me, and I can give them the information. They would join the Second Region Football Officials Association. We do our scheduling on an app called Arbiter, which is used by the entire state for all sports, and it's also the payment agent. And I would answer their questions and tell them what's going on, and then they would register with the High School Athletic Association. And Todd, that's the same for volleyball. Chuck Standiford, that lives in Hopkinsville, is the signer for volleyball. Scott Green lives in Mayfield, and he assigns both the first and the second region for soccer. The better part for Scott is he's got Murray State University there close by, so he's getting he's gotten quite a few new officials that are in college. So for me, I mean, I've got Madisonville Community College in my area, Hopkinsville Community College, Henderson, but in probably, it's been probably 15, 20 years now since Eldridge Rogers had classes in baseball umpiring as part of the program at Hopkinsville Community College. Yeah. So that helped. We don't have that luxury here like Murray State does, or Scott does. And then the middle school and softball and baseball, Matt Bell is the assigner for baseball in this region, and Alfred Williams is the assigner for softball. So I have all their contact information. So if somebody in our listening area is interested in any of those,
okay,
they could contact me. My cell phone number is 270-836-0449. Todd's got that number in his phone as well. So if you can't get a hold of me, you can call Todd and make sure you got the number. But the other thing that I've arranged, Todd, is the commissioner for the state of Kentucky is Julian Tackett. The football coaches for the 11 schools that I assign and the athletic directors at those schools and any of their administration or assistant coaches, and all of the officials in our area that are already registered, we're going to meet with Mr. Tackett on Wednesday night, May the 31st. Current principal McClung, future head football coach McClung, has arranged for us to use the auditorium at the high school. And Mr. Tackett and I will be meeting with all of those schools and the officials in this area. One is to look at rule changes that are coming about. And then also, Julian has some, he's got a little more clout than, say, an assigner does. And the state quit doing on-site rules clinics annually across the state probably 10, 12 years ago due to financial budget problems at that time. So now it's a Zoom meeting for rule changes for head coaches and their assistants and for the officials. And so the clout of that doesn't really come out the way it did when Julian or Larry Boucher or previous sports supervisors out of that office would come in into a room and say, guys, this is the problem. We got to get it fixed. Up to you to get it done. So Julian's going to break. I was able to get him to come down here for this meeting on the 31st. And you're invited to come as well see how it goes.
What kind of new rules do we have coming up this year?
Football didn't do much. We've got a change in one penalty administration that we tried to do Julian tried to get an experimental rule in Kentucky last year, but it didn't go through. If a offensive team has a penalty in the backfield, a lineman gets caught holding on a pass play, and he's 10 yards in the backfield. Well, the previous penalty administration was you were penalized 10 yards from the spot of the foul.
Right.
So if it was first and 10, now it's going to be first and 30 because the 10 where you were, the 10 where the penalty was, and a 10. So now
– that's a pretty stiff penalty.
Yes, sir, it is. So now it will go back to the previous spot. It would so it'd be first and 30 would be first and 20. There's another rule change. They put a way to not call intentional grounding into the high school rules last year. Mm-hmm. You had to throw it. You could throw it out of bounds if you wanted to up in the nickel seats, and the ball just had to cross the line of scrimmage, previous line of scrimmage. And it could be by any player. I could throw a backward pass as a quarterback, throw it out to you behind the line of scrimmage. You threw it up in the nickel seats, and there wasn't a penalty. Where the college rule is, it's the person that takes the snap.
Oh, okay.
So now the high school penalty will be only the person that takes the direct snap from the center is able to make that pass beyond the line of scrimmage and save – time or save loss of yardage by throwing it out of bounds. And then the rest of them are just – those are the two primary changes that are going this year. Okay. We've got some review of COVID rules that haven't – Julian may talk about Wednesday night. He hasn't – the Board of Control hasn't given him permission yet. We've extended that coaching box from the 10-yard line to the 10-team box, if you will, from the 10 to the 10 because of COVID. In the book, it's 25 to the 25, so we still don't know if we're going back to that.
Oh, okay.
And then the bigger one that he'll go over is coaches seem to think the closer they are to their players while the game's going on that they can get better messaging to them, like being 3 yards out on the field or in that 3-yard band there that's four officials and the chain crew. Mm. And Julian has really struggled across the state, not as much here, but it's an, as you know from your years in sports, not all officials enforce all the rules the same way, and he's trying to bridge that gap and make it more consistent because that's better for coaches to know that it's going to be the same ever.
Yeah,
the more stuff we can do the same every Friday night, the easier it is on the coaches and the players.
See, I thought about referees the other night. I was watching Nova this week, and they were talking about the brain and how you perceive things. And they say that people, you typically see what you expect to see. So if you're watching a close play and you expect it to be safe, you see it safe. If you think it's going to be out, it's out. That's how fans view the game. Well, as an umpire, that kind of puts you in a tough position because everybody always expects to see their guy be either safe or out, depending on who they're talking to. So, you know, I always equate everything to sports. So that's what I thought about was, you know, trying to officiate a ball game.
Well, you have the an example would be you get a ground ball hit between short and third, and the shortstop's got to go deep in the hole to get that play, and you're at first base as the umpire. You're thinking, there's no way he's going to get this guy out, and he comes up and throws a one hopper that the first baseman comes up with, and you're sitting there, how in the world did this happen? And you should be. It's hard to not judge or prejudge some things that you, like you said, the brain part of the brain says, this isn't going to happen, or that is going to happen.
You see what you expect to see.
So. A lot of times, yes, sir.
All right, Jay, I appreciate you coming in and talking to us today. Good luck to you guys, and if you want to give out your phone number once again, that'd be great too.
Right. It's 270-836-0449, and again, if you're interested and just want to show up on May the 31st at Caldwell County High School Auditorium, the meeting is at 6 o'clock, and we're encouraging everyone to try to get there a little bit early. So Mr. Tackett's coming from Lexington and going to go back to Lexington after a meeting. But thanks, Todd. I appreciate all your help, as always.
Yeah, appreciate you coming in this morning. That's Jay Davis. We need to get to a timeout here on the show. Back with more after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
BNC Unique Boutique. Ladies of all ages will enjoy shopping for the latest fashions, clothing, jewelry, shoes, and gifts. BNC Unique Boutique, Princeton and Grand Rivers, Kentucky.
Your Other Edge Weather Center forecast. We've got an overnight low of 53, mostly clear skies. By this afternoon, we can expect it to be sunny with a high of 81. And then on Thursday night, partly cloudy skies, low around 59. Friday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms is back in the forecast. That's after 1 o'clock, partly sunny skies, high of 80. And then by Friday night, there's a coin flip for some showers and storms in western Kentucky. Mostly cloudy skies and a low around 57. But back to right now, we've got an overnight low of 53. And by this afternoon, sunny and a beautiful 81.
The WPKY 2023 Princeton Optimist Kiwanis Club Radio Auction.
Part of our radio auction each year is raising funds for the West York Scholarship Fund.
You don't have to be a business to donate.
You could be a good old goat, a silver goat, or a golden goat, and you can still do that. And every bit that comes in cash donations goes to our scholarship fund.
Contact a Princeton Optimist or Kiwanis Club member today for more information on how you can help support the youth in our community.
The scholarship is being coordinated through the Career Center, the vocational school.
Just to get them sparked to where they can go get an education and get a job in some line that interests them.
Donations and items accepted now.
The community is back in this. The community is getting to be a part of it.
Join together June 5th through the 9th at Princeton First Baptist Church Christian Life Center in downtown Princeton.
Contact any Optimist member at 270-625-3427 or check out our Facebook page. We will be glad to respond and get back
with you. For more information, visit our website at WPKYOnline.com.
Hello, this is Brad Harrelson with First Southern National Bank. There is little doubt that many are facing financial hardships in our country today. The statistics can be startling to look at, with as many as 70% of Americans having less than $1,000 saved for emergencies. While it can be easy to point fingers, the truth of the matter is that many folks lack the basic financial knowledge to avoid these pitfalls. To meet this need, First Southern has provided financial literacy resources so that the people of our communities can be better equipped to face the financial challenges life throws their way. We invite you to explore the Financial Literacy Resource Center at FSMB.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good morning once again. This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, we appreciate Caldwell County Baseball Head Coach Josh Young for joining us this morning, and Jay Davis stopping by. He's the assigning secretary for football officials in the second region. Joining us now on the phone this morning, Caldwell County Lady Tigers softball head coach Seth Butts. And Seth, good morning. Thanks for coming on the show with us this morning.
Good morning, Ty. I appreciate everything you do, covering everything.
Yeah, appreciate it. And you guys have Christian County. Overall, I think a pretty solid draw for you guys in the second region softball tournament coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. We had two scheduled games with them earlier this year, and my assistant coach, after the draw yesterday, said, you know, we're going to get rained out.
Yeah.
Like, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you're playing Christian County. So, yeah, hopefully we can get this one in, and it'll be fun to get a chance to see them this year. You know, they're one of the premier programs in the state as far as wins in history and being able to compete. So it should be a pretty fun game. We played them pretty tight last year, and I'm looking forward to maybe doing the same thing this year.
Does it help that you guys maybe didn't see them during the regular season from a pitching standpoint or something?
Yeah, you know, I think it could. You know, the biggest thing, you know, we had a good talk at practice yesterday. You know, it's postseason now, and it's time for us to, you know, get ready and get hungry. And, you know, anything that happened during the season doesn't matter, and we kind of have an idea of what we're going to be going up against because they've got basically the same thing they had last year. They're missing one of their pitchers, but you know, and of course, one of the best outfielders that was in the state with Pickle Winkler, who's actually playing in the ACC or the NCAA tournament this weekend in Knoxville. But you know, it's been a pretty good matchup over the past few years. They've gotten away from us a few times, and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what the kids and how they're going to respond. You know, going into this, we've got anytime you've got the two big power schools in the same bracket, you've got a chance to get into the finals. So.
Well, and you guys made the regional semifinals last year up in Henderson. And as you mentioned, Henderson County and Madisonville North Hopkins are on the other side of the draw. So there were at least four schools happy with the way things turned out.
Absolutely. Anytime that you can avoid playing those guys, you know, because they're loaded yearly. And, you know, it's bad for them. But, you know, they're going to end up facing each other anyways.
So. Yeah. What does somebody have to do to knock off a Henderson County or a Madisonville? Because those two teams are ranked, what, in the top six or seven in the state this season?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're seven and maybe four right now, or it could be six and four. You've got to play a perfect game. You've got to have a little bit of help, maybe a call or two go your way. You know, they're loaded at offensively, and they both have really good pitching. And, you know, you just got to – hope everything stars the line for you as a team. And, you know, the little things create the big things. And, you know, everybody can be beat. You know, I think they've both beat McCracken this year, maybe even, I think, Greenwood, too. So, and they've beat each other. So it's you know, you got to kind of hope for the stars to line up and, you know, some things roll your way.
When you look at the KHSAA RPI here in the second region, Christian County is number four. You guys are number five, so that could be one of the premier matchups in the first round.
Yeah, you know, I scheduled pretty hard this year. You know, we talked about that earlier in the season, and you know, I was hoping it would pay some dividends going into the postseason. And you know, we've last part of the season that it really, I think, showed a little bit. We played a lot of the same teams that they have, and you know, looking at the scores and things, you know, it's going to be a pretty fun matchup, I think.
Yeah, again, you guys were in the regional semifinals last year, so you know, you've got a relatively young team. I know you've got those four seniors, but seems like you guys do have some experience when it comes to playing in those kind of games.
Yeah, our whole team has had you know, playing experience. I've got one or two that haven't had much playing experience as far as, you know, the district stuff and the region things. But for the most part, the core of the team has been there for a couple of years now. And, you know, we're a little young on the mound, but, you know, we've got a pretty resilient kid there. I think she handles the pressure really well. So we should be ready as far as it goes mentally. It's just a matter of, you know, are we ready to play today?
Yeah, you guys get the 5 o'clock game Saturday over at Hopkins County Central. And, of course, you guys just played the 7th District Tournament over there. Does that help you out a little, familiarity with the field or anything like that?
You know, I think it should. We ran into it when we played in the championship. We got to see a few things as far as how the field acts to certain types of balls hit. And, you know, it's a large field. It's one of the bigger ones in the area. It's 215 down the line and 225 center, and maybe a little farther than that. But, you know, it's a big outfield, and, you know, hitting the ball up like you can in some places and getting lucky with a home run at times, it's not going to happen over there. So we've got to hit low-line drives and try to get as many extra bases as we can.
Do we know the rest of the schedule for the second region tournament as far as the semifinals and the championship, or are we just going to have to kind of play it by ear depending on who wins on Saturday?
Well, with all the graduations and things going on, it's going to be up in the air. It's going to be like a crapshoot. It kind of depends on who wins, who loses, and who's graduating that day. And we may even actually have a different host at some point with maybe a semifinal or something going in.
Yeah, Fort Campbell in the field for the first time in, what, 17 years? But
it's been a long time.
Yeah, unfortunately, they get Henderson County, but I think they're actually playing that game early because Fort Campbell graduates Friday or Saturday.
Yes, Friday. I believe they're a Friday night graduation, same as us. Or maybe, oh, excuse me, it's Saturday. Saturday graduation.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we need to go talk to Mr. Tackett. I like the old way when we were playing Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, we didn't have to worry about graduations as much. And we could get everything done, you know, respectively in time. But, you know, I understand why the change was made too, and I think it's primarily because of the arms in baseball with the pitch counts and things like that. And you know, and it's, but we wouldn't have that problem if we were back into the Memorial Day weekend. So, you know, it's all in the air right now. We were on a Zoom call or a Google Meet yesterday with the ADs in the area, and you know, they've had their hands full and they've done a great job hashing it out and getting, you know, the best possible avenues that, you know, every team could have. You know, we've got several graduating Friday night, and they, you know, in general, they would play, you know, in earlier games, but they set them in the evening so that these kids doing Project Graduation would have a little time to get some rest and, you know, recover and be ready to come play.
Yeah, I also miss the days when Memorial Day was the big day. You had all the first round at one place, and you drew a big crowd, and everybody knew where they could go. All the media could gather in one place. The officials could gather in one place. And it seems like, though, when they took the state tournaments for baseball and softball this year, and they're going to play them over two different weekends, seems like that really played havoc with the rest of the postseason schedule.
It did, and, you know, I kind of seen that when they started doing it that way, but I was, I guess, naive to the fact that, oh, well, they got it figured out. But, you know, it's hard on the teams, I think, sometimes, because you're missing days without playing. And you take a small school like us, let's just say we get hot, and we run through, and we end up winning region. Well, now we're waiting 2 weeks before we play state, and we might not be hot when we get to state. And, you know, I really liked it the old way. And, of course, there's nothing we can really do to change that. But, you know, the only prevention of any of that could be maybe if we move the seasons to the fall. And you're missing graduations there. The college teams that are hosting aren't playing. So, you know, you got more opportunities to get in and get it all done.
All right, big question. What do you guys have to do to beat Christian County?
We've got to play a flawless game. I think we can get some ground balls from them. We're going to be in pretty good shape. If we can get them to hit the ball up in the air a little bit and keep it in the park, I think, you know, pitch location is going to be a big key there. I feel really good about how my defense can play. They've anchored us for the past few years. Offensively, it's going to be a toss-up. It's just going to have to – it depends on how their personnel are on defense. We could go long game. We could go short game. And we may do a mixture of both. But biggest thing is we've got to do everything we can to leave it all out on the field and play 110%. And if we do that, I think we have a really good chance.
All right. Good luck to you guys. Appreciate you coming on the show. And we'll see you over at Morton's Gap on Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Go Tigers.
All right, that's Caldwell County Lady Tigers softball head coach Seth Butch joining us this morning here on the Sideline Report, and we'll continue with more right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Now's the time to make sure you and your family are financially taken care of for life. Call Josh Ray with Woodman Life at 270-625-0307.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast. We have an overnight low of 53 degrees and mostly clear skies. By this afternoon, we can expect sunny skies and a high of 81. Thursday night, partly cloudy skies, low around 59. And then Friday, chance of showers and thunderstorms returns to the forecast, especially in the mid to late afternoon. Partly sunny skies, high of 80. Friday night, a 50-50 shot for showers and storms, mostly cloudy and 57. But back to right now, we've got an overnight low of 53. And by this afternoon, sunny and 81 degrees.
Hi, I'm Rachel Chandler with Farmers Bank. Did you know your money can make more money when you level up to an interest-bearing checking account? Grow your balance at Farmers Bank with our unique Plus checking account featuring a 2.5% annual percentage yield on balances up to $15,000. Unique Plus is a win-win local banking option. Call or visit us today and let our expert bankers show you how to get the most out of your deposits. Farmers Bank. Live unique. Bank unique. Member FDIC. Terms
apply. Oh, wow, it looks different in here. It's a good different, though. I like it.
The joint's got a new look, but that quality is still top-notch.
What about the menu? Can I still get my favorites?
Oh, check it out. Everything you love is still here, but they've added some new sandwiches. They've got more smoked meats, a smoked brisket, and a stuffed spud, too.
What's this Philly Southwest steak sandwich?
Oh, you are going to love that.
The Joint in Eddyville, Kentucky. The best barbecue in town and so much more. Catering services, too. The Joint BBQ WKY.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY, Princeton, Kentucky. Again, thanks for tuning in this morning, and the show just flew by this morning. We thank Caldwell County baseball head coach Josh Young for coming by. Jay Davis, assigning secretary for football officials in the second region, among other things, coming in and talking sports officiating with us this morning. And then Caldwell County Lady Tigers softball head coach Seth Butch joining us on the phone this morning. Appreciate them all coming on and giving us some information this morning. Don't forget, Lady Tigers softball will play Saturday at 5 o'clock over at Hopkins County Central High School in Morton's Gap. The Tiger baseball team will play Saturday at either 5:30 or 7:30. The draw coming up in just a little bit this morning, so we'll find out who the Tigers will play and pass that along to you. And we'll figure out a broadcast schedule. We'll have either softball action or baseball action for you here on Saturday on WPKY, so stay tuned for that. The second region tennis tournament going on this week up in Henderson. The Lady Tiger tennis team finished as runner-up in the team standings. And, of course, Rachel McClung and Keegan Miller, doubles team, will be headed to the state tennis tournament. Kiowa County boys doubles team of Nick Adams and Graydon Miller also headed to state. Kiowa County singles player Ryan Hammett is headed to state as well, and he will play today. One match left in the regional tennis tournament. Hammett will play today at 5 o'clock in the singles championship with a chance to repeat as singles champion. And if he wins that, the Tiger tennis team will win its third straight boys second region tennis team championship. That's going to wrap us up for this edition of the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for joining us on this Thursday morning. You've been listening to the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY, Princeton.